Mile. Oh.
Come out. Can I do something with this or not? All right. It's really great to be here again, isn't it? Babble off, but I like you. I think I'm all messed up here, just for a change. I think it's your time. I think God's favor is on you, people. It's your time as a body of believers, corporate body. It's your time to release something of the presence of God together that might release a tsunami of His life out of this building or wherever you meet, from your homes, your groups, so that people get influenced and touched, and that the miraculous comes into prominence much, much more, because like you, I've read about it, and like you, probably it's always happened when I've not been there, but I feel like it's your time, societal issues, it's your time, whether it's Uganda or Woking or Reading or film or schools or whatever, or even footy, you know. I suppose that article by Steve would have been read by at least 10,000 people. There were 17,000 there yesterday, so that is such a fantastic thing. Can I feel proud? Yeah. I just think it's your time. I don't know what you should do with that, except, I suppose, grasp the moment. And if you think to yourself, well, I'm not doing it, all I can say is the thing that my Irish friend says, is doing it. And I just want to believe, declare, decree, shout, talk, pray, that doors will open for you, so that these times together are a cause that might affect something out there. Because if years back we'd focus so narrowly with blinkers with regard to church. I remember Easter conventions in Bristol years and years ago. We had 12 meetings from Thursday through Tuesday. We were sort of enclosed. I mean, some of them were fantastic, but looking back, it was ridiculous, really. But there's something about this time, and the way the leaders are meeting in Reading is tremendous. We do meet with some in Lancaster, but it's like swimming through custard and molasses together. Sometimes it's great, but there's always this feeling of being threatened and all of this stuff and the insecurity of a leader. Good grief. I want to go past that, don't you? I'm too old to fluff around anymore. Let's go past that. And I think it's time to grasp the moment. I do. You grasp the nettle, you don't get stung, do you? There's something about it. It's time. It really is. And just by the testimonies and the prayers and all that's been going on here, it's time. How can I say it? It's time. Sorry, my mouth is dry. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. And maybe there's seeds in your heart. Maybe you're pregnant with word, with a God idea. It doesn't matter how old you are, younger, it doesn't matter. If you're, you know, I'm a biddy in training, doesn't matter. Says my granddaughter, doesn't matter how old you are. But it's time for you, I think, to move forward and grasp. And with these, what do you call them, MSCs, MSGs, MSH? What, MCs, you know what I mean. I'm not sure what I mean, but these, it's time. It's time. It's time to see latent gifting being released. It's time. It's time. So Esther came for such a time as this. It's time, I believe. So that we influence, we affect, we're sneaky going in. Our local authority doesn't like Christians. We have a little group of street pastors. They don't like them. They don't like them. Of course, are you Tory around here? Well, it doesn't matter, does it? But they're major Labour, but They don't like them. Whatever. It could be anything. They don't like us. They don't like Christians. But I still think it's time. It's time to pursue. It's time to grasp. It's time to push doors. Didn't mean to say any of that, so eat the meat, spit out the bones. It's time, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time! What is it? Yomu! You will listen! Or be exterminated. No, it is time. It's time. A great message, yeah. I call that a diss. Grace. So I had a really nice morning yesterday. I drove down from near Lancaster, get through the fog of Preston and its beautiful hills. Really nice hills up there. Yesterday morning it was great. Yesterday evening we had a meal because it was somebody's birthday. Yesterday afternoon was, I don't know what happened, nothing much. It was a non-entity yesterday afternoon. That's why I'm wearing blue, you know. My team were beaten by Reading 2-0. So, there it is. I heard that. It was really good though. Really good to be there. Time. Time. To see him there, you know, sidling up to Mr. Majewski. That'll do. Yeah, Medeski. Yeah, that's better, isn't it? It's time. It's fantastic. So I'm not in the doom and gloom. I don't get depressed when my team lose anymore. Otherwise I'd be depressed all the time. It's time. It's time. I'm sure that'll come back. Now, I've got this illustration, which may... Not that one. That's quite good, isn't it? There's another one, isn't there? Not like that. Not like that, but just like... No. Can you see it? This most beautiful picture. Is it seeable at the back? Any mathematicians here? So you've got a part above the water, and how much below? 1656, 1878, something like that. Two-thirds. Well, two-thirds. Okay. Has anybody got a pointer? Have I got a stick? Oh. What can I use? Got a ruler? Has anybody got a ruler? Oh, that'll do. Yeah. Any nonsense? Ooh! Right. Any nonsense to get a smack? Yeah. This, to me, is absolutely fantastic. It's beautiful, but it's desperately dangerous, isn't it? So it's a bit like my life. You've got conscious there, haven't you, above the water. And you've got subconscious, which is maybe a little bit below, and then deep, 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 deep down, you've got unconscious. Is that about right? And if you can imagine that to be your life, sometimes we are a bit like that. And we've got this brilliant way. It's not just Redonians. Are you called Redonians here? Redding types? Yeah. It's not just Brits with the stiff upper lip. It's across the nations. What we are brilliant at doing is burying our problems. Because most of us think we bury them dead, but we don't. We bury them alive. So what we do is as I just did. I went in the river with the crocodiles about Reading Football Club there. You know where the river is where the crocodiles are, don't you? It's called denial. But, not worth it. It's not worth it. If you quote that, don't mention me. But we do go in denial. We do. And we get bitten by Jock the Croc. It is not difficult. And what we do, we push things down from the conscious. We push them down into the sub, and often they go down deep, 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 deep. And I think it's time. I'm talking to me. Forget about you. I'm talking to me. So if you think I'm getting a bit intense, filter it through me. But touch, let it touch your hearts as well. I think it's time for us to, as best as we can, to deal with the memories and the issues that are down in the unconscious, deep down in. And what I think we do, we have an ability to freeze memories. You see, you never bury them alive. Sorry, I'm testing Mr. Mannering. You never bury them, correct. They always remain alive, but what I think they do, they become frozen. You get frozen memories. And
What shall I do with this? Chuck it down here. Let me give you an illustration if I can. There's a biblical one which I will give in a minute, but I suppose it was a couple of years ago, pardon me if you've heard this, I'm not sure whether you have or not, and I was in Canada and had a free evening, at least 2 years ago, probably 2 years last September, and went into this little house with some friends and we had some food, and then the rotten lot decided to pray for me. It turned out brilliant, to be honest, but I have an experience that I probably have never had since or before, and I went into this sort of, it's very difficult to say this, it's sort of a trancey vision, dream, awake, not awake, something like that. I don't get these much at all. Does anybody else get these much at all? Maybe not, but maybe. I mean, I keep reading about people that get them all the time, but I'm not like that. I don't see angels every day, do you? No. Last time we had an angel come in our bedroom, I was asleep. Chris wakes up and says, hello. You know, I saw sees this angelic being in the... And she went back to sleep. And I said, what was all that about? She said, he, or whatever you call he, it, him, just gave me confidence and peace. So I went back to sleep. And that was for her. I'm asleep. I missed it. So there it is. So I'll tell you this briefly because it's a great long thing. I'm in this sort of picture, trance, vision, internal thing. And there I am, sat on the edge of a cliff. Like that. Not like that. And as I'm sat there, a whole mass of angels appear. And they're sort of flying around. And I knew I had to jump off. So I jumped off the cliff and started to fly with the angels. This is like 2 years ago, last September at least. It's like to me this morning. I can see it so clearly. And I'm flying. I'm flying with the angels. It's absolutely amazing. And we finally get to somewhere. There's these great mountains in the distance. And on one of them is a sort of a Disney castle. Do you know what I mean? One of those. So we're flying towards it. And they're all around me. Isn't it wonderful? Are you with me? And we land in a big courtyard. And there's this massive door. And I knew what God wanted me to do was to go through the door because there was something there for me. And I couldn't get through the door. And I was sort of describing this in my in-out of whatever. And somebody said, there's a blockage. There's a problem. There's an issue. What is it? I thought, well, I don't know. When suddenly I see a picture on the wall just by the door of this, by the courtyard. And do you know what it was? It was a frozen memory. That's what it was, a frozen memory. And what I saw was me, most of you know that my wife is chronically sick with MS. What I saw was at the beginnings of the diagnosis of that in about 1971. And I'm rushing home in my Morris 1000 Traveller, some of you remember those, about 4 miles an hour, with the wood rotting, at the bottom, you know what I mean. And I get into our drive, this is North Bristol, right by British Aerospace, and I get into the drive, and the picture was me getting out of the car, and in the doorway was this doctor, this lady doctor, she was quite a matriarch, and there's the picture, and she is saying something. She's actually speaking Martian. Did you know you can speak Martian? In other words, I had no idea what she was saying. And she said multiple sclerosis. And there's the picture. And as she said that, inside the house, Chris was there. She heard her. And Chris went, I can't do it. My voice won't let me. She screamed loudly. Because immediately she remembered a young woman around Chris's age, and I'm talking about 23, 24, who died at that age. Now, that is really rare for MS, isn't it, matron? Matron, yes, it's rare. And what Chris did, she went, and opened herself up to death. Well, that's gone now. So that was the picture. So all these years later, and I thought, oh, we handled things over the years. But what had happened is, it went, this picture was frozen and went down into the depth of the iceberg of moi. So there it is. And as I looked at this picture, I realized that there was an issue still in my life. And the thing that I was encouraged to do was to embrace the situation. Embracing it defrosted it, and it sort of came back into me, which is fantastic, you'll understand in a second. The door opens, and I go in there. There's four little boxes, little treasure chests, and they open up, and four rings float up and swim towards me and go on my fingers. Amazing. One was sapphire, one was ruby, one was amber, and one was emerald. And I thought, this amber one, is it gold? What is it? But it was amber. And without going into the rest, amber symbolically is the manifest presence of God. And I feel like I'm wearing these rings, you know, the heaven to earth, the ruby of the life of Christ, the blood of Christ and the cross. Absolutely amazing. All that sort of stuff. And this amber, which I really found out a little bit later, was this manifest presence of God. Not bad. There's too much more to the story. So I get home. I say to Chris, I've had this funny experience. She said, oh, how unusual. So I tell her the story. She says, that's fine. 3 months later, she says to me, you have really changed in your attitude to my illness. And I had no idea that I had changed. So what was coming off me was connected to, I'm leading you into a big trap, by the way. I'm being grace now, I'm being kind. What happened was, even though I thought I'd dealt with something, I'd pushed something down, really down. And that particular time was the revelation for me to do something about it. Now I want to just push you and challenge you with regard to the issues in your own lives, because I'll tell you where I am. I want to draw a line on yesterday in the way that it drags me down, the way that it influences me away from the kingdom of God and all that God is. I want to take the good out of yesterday, don't you? Of course. But I don't want the bad or the good, the bad and the ugly. I don't want the other stuff to influence me in my walk with God anymore. So I'm up for drawing a line, aren't you? And sometimes that happens dramatically, I think. Sometimes, well, here's my prayer for you lot. Bring up these frozen memories. Bring them up so that we can embrace. Now, I might as well say this bit as well. Just a day or two later, I'm back in Canada now. I'm in this conference and we're speaking. And I sort of mentioned this. And as I'm mentioning this, this lady stands up and comes out to the front. I mean, talk about pushing in, which was brilliant. I'd rather we all pushed in, wouldn't you, and thank God, than sit here all serene and nice and middle class, you know, and wait for some other time. I just want to push in, so I don't care. Push in, you lot, you know. So she comes out and she says, I see this little girl in front of me. Now, this is like a lawyer type, I think, lady. You're talking about a professional lady. And she saw a little girl stood in front of her. That little girl was her. And that little girl at that age was badly abused. And something happened, like Russian dollies. You with me? It's like something broke within her. And that little girl didn't actually grow up into her. Does that make sense? Something like that. And again, at the end of all this, we encouraged her to embrace yesterday and embrace this little girl. And she did that. And God began to heal her of yesterday's pain that had dramatically afflicted her in her walk with God and in her response to male and fathers. Make sense? And I feel like we're in a place these days, because I just want to see not just the Steve or the Allen or the Woking guy or whoever it is, you know, I just want to see us all being able to go out there, don't you? I mean, this is a bit piddly, really, but I've begun to hum and sing in supermarkets. Do you sing in supermarkets? Not loudly, you know, but I go around sort of singing to myself. And I'm waiting for someone to come up to me. What are you doing? You know, I say, well, I'm happy. People are happy. What about the government? You know, I say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Do you see? So that's just small, but there's so much that God wants to release through us. And I don't want anything. I don't want anything to drag me back. Do you? I don't want anything to hold me back. And I think it's the time, maybe, for some of these issues to be defrosted. So on that basis, have you got favourite characters? I suspect we have in Scripture. I've got one. His name is Mephibosheth. Correct. Mephibosheth. He's in the Old Testament. In fact, it's 2 Samuel 9. And Mephi, I just see myself in him. And maybe there's a little bit of you there. Now, it's trauma. This is shock and trauma to the power of 1,000. This is incredible. And you'll probably think, as we're going on for a few more minutes, it's only 11:45, what time do we finish? 11:15? Okay. Let's just gobble up the prawn cocktail. We'll get into the sirloin there. We won't be there. It's like that dandelion, the seeds. The wind of God is sporaing the seeds, and they're floating around you, and they're going to come in and affect you. Or it could be sperma, an insemination quickly of the Word of God. You open for that? Good. I hear the grunt in the, yeah? So you've got this guy, Mephibosheth, and what you see is such an illustration of the love of the king. I think the father's love. It's so parallel. It juxtaposes David's love to Jonathan, to Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, with the father's love to you and me. Absolutely amazing. It really, really is. And we're sort of getting into this book, or some of these books, by this bloke, and he talks about the furious love of God. Have you ever heard that? That's furious. Is it an adjective? That'll do. Furious. God's love. Furious. Anybody done white water rafting? I haven't. You have? You rotters. I don't know whether I'd do it, actually. But that is like a furious water, isn't it? It's furious. It's going everywhere. It's powerful. It's sort of death-defying. It's dangerous. And I feel like the love of God is utterly dangerous. And I get the feeling people like me are just sort of dipping my toes, you know, into it, sat on the bank of the river, when what he wants is for us to move into risky living. Wimber said, faith is a four-letter word, didn't he? R-I-S-K. And I feel like he wants us to go right into the furious love of God. Because I think God is seeking us out. He's searching for us. He's after us with furious love. I mean, what a term. It's fantastic. It's outrageous. It's dangerous. It's scandalous. It's ridiculous. What kind of God would allow his son to cry out on the cross and then die? What kind of God would turn his back? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me, rejected me, orphaned me? Everything was gone. There's no other religion in the universe. But we come into such a revelation. Behold, John says, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed? It's furious love. It's such a love that just explodes out of him into you and me. That's why I want this love, don't you? The heat of this love to somehow defrost these memories so that we can actually come right into the fullness of his presence, draw a line and get on with it. because I believe that's where we are. So here we go, just see how far we get. All this is messed up, so it doesn't matter. 2 Samuel, where's 2 Samuel? Is it before? It's just after 1 Samuel. Here we go. What did I say? Oh, I realised what I said there. Yeah. David begins to ask, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul that whom I can show kindness? The word is Berithee, it's covenant. Covenant love to. Of course, David loved Jonathan as he loved himself, which is pure and fantastic. And they found out that there was someone in the household of Saul whose name was Mephibosheth. Really love him. And this servant said, here, come here, come here. He's crippled in both feet. In other words, he had no destiny. He had nothing to possess because he could not. He didn't have that ability to possess the fullness of his destiny. Just like the frozen members. They hinder us to come into the fullness of what God wants for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, you said. And well, where is he? Well, he's in Lodebar. By the way, Lodebar means barrenness. What's his name? Mephibosheth. That basically means shame. So you've got shame living in barrenness. Oh, it's not a bad start, is it? And if you go back to 2 Samuel 4:4, you will see what happened. Jonathan's son had a son. Sorry, Jonathan's son of Saul had a son who was, why do they keep saying it? Lame in both feet. Oh, you know, Chris Hepburn, the wife of Steve. She's the one in the wheelchair. Not sure I like it much. But anyway, there it goes. Oh, when he was 5 years old, the news about Saul and Jonathan came. Do you remember what happened? Father and grandfather died the same day they were killed. Now that is major shock, isn't it, in trauma? And Nursey picked up Mephibosheth, about 5 years old, and fled. Why did she do that? Because culturally speaking, she knew that someone's going to come and destroy the rest of the family line, because when the kids grow up, they would want vengeance and revenge on those that killed father and grandfather. So Nursey wanted to pick him up and hide him from the ones that were going to come. I don't know whether they did. But she picks him up and runs and falls somehow. And from that day, he's crippled in both feet. I don't know what he did, broke his legs or his ankles or something. So the same day, this innocent 5-year-old, not his fault, hear me, some of you, because we're brilliant at beating ourselves up, aren't we? Looking at the ceiling. Suddenly loses identity, loses inheritance, and loses family. 5 years old, broken legs, destiny, no ability at all to do anything, and ends up in this barren place. Absolutely amazing. And comes to a point, I think, later on. Actually, he's about 17 or 18 years old when the call comes from the king. That's a long, long time to just be in your teenage years, going through the fact of being forgotten, forsaken, rejected. It was just as though he was dead. Now, our issues may not be that intense, but there's a principle here. Because I keep meeting Christians, present company accepted, of course. Who sometimes allow their state of mind to really hinder them. Someone has said thinking determines your mood, which will lead to a certain type of behavior. And if you change your thinking, you change your life, which is true. Now, here's some good thinking. I'm an absolute failure. What's the point of living? I don't like my life. Nothing goes my way. It's just one disappointment after another. Things aren't like they used to be. The world's falling apart. My world is falling apart. I'm flawed. It's always the worst case scenario for me. Everything is my fault. Absolutely everything. I can tell people don't like me. because of the way they behave around me. Nothing is fair. If I dwell on why I am unhappy and think about what went wrong, maybe I'll feel better. Did you hear that? It doesn't work. I don't think we're meant to be happy. I don't trust people who are happy. If something good happens in my life, I usually have to pay for it with something bad. Mephibosheth was at the mercy of his own son. He was hidden away in this barren place. He changes his name. His name was Meribbaal, which means the Lord's son, something like that, which is absolutely amazing. I'll tell you what it means. Beloved of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 8:34, you better have a reference. Beloved of the Lord changes his name to shame. I hear a word. Nano. Oh, it barks. It's a mogul. Oh, Nihon Ma. He was at the mercy of his tongue. You see, it poisons. It can poison us as it seeps into our consciousness of thought, or it can bombard us. So you had this 5-year-old that had these experiences, and over the years, things got pushed down, but things were so powerful that they popped up from the conscious side, from the subconscious, into the consciousness, and he began to live as though he was barren, as though he was shameful, as though he was unfruitful. Incredible, isn't it? We're all right, aren't we? Hang on. Them pigs are growing wings out there. They're just about to fly. This is amazing. You see, life and death are in the power of the tongue. The Message says this: words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That was his state of mind. Absolutely incredible, really. Absolutely incredible. The pain of orphan was there. But listen, the call is to sonship. And I think it's time. You don't realize, but every time I come to this place, I get inspired by what doors are opening for you, bunch. And I tell people about you. Is that all right? I do. And I'll keep doing it. You don't know anyway what I do up there. It doesn't matter. Nice things. This 5-year-old, he didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But why should something that you don't deserve control and dominate and manipulate your life to the point where, you know, it's like you're disabled in the spirit, that you can't move into the fullness of your destiny? It's time to draw a line, deal with these issues, isn't it? Yeah, she's all right. Katie, was that one of yours? Was that Ivy or Holly? Joke. Sorry. Or was it the boy? Never mind. It was a poor joke. You see, identity is how we comprehend and understand ourselves. This self-image business. But if you're lost, you're abandoned, you're alone. There's no mention of mother. I don't know where mother was. Mother's Day, didn't have any. She wasn't mentioned. It's just incredible. He had no one. Nurse, I bet she ran a mile. So he's on his own. He had nothing. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely nothing. We'll leave that bit. See, the formative years from birth up to about 5 years old lay the foundation of many, many issues in our lives. So he's coming up to his teenage years when one day he's full of pain and venom and poison. He's full of hurt. He's within himself, this charismatic Christian. When a whole bunch of horsemen come, they all turn up, and these great clip-clop, clip-clop, you know they are, you know. And he looks out the window, "We want Mephibosheth." He goes, "Ooh, they found me. The king is calling you. You need to see the king, King David." Why? Why? Well, they didn't know. And he thought in his heart that if he went to see the king, that would be it. He'd be killed. The end. So he had a choice to make. This this fatherless guy. Do you want to learn a little Greek? Orphanos. What do you think that is? True. Fatherless. Orphan. And the curse that's come through from the last, almost the last verse of the last book, of the last verse, the last book of the Old Testament, is that very thing. I'll send a curse on your land because it's turning the hearts of the sons and daughters to the father and the father of the land, isn't it? Just incredible. And there he was. But what he didn't know was that David suddenly realized that unconditional love can be released. Unconditional love without any conditions. That might be daft, but quite often we put a few on, don't we? And we move the goalposts and there's pressure to perform, you know, and all this sort of thing. That's amazing. Unconditional love, to me, means unconditional acceptance. So you've got this guy. You've got this guy. And suddenly, the king is saying, come to Jerusalem. He's got a choice to make. And basically, we can either let history control us, so that we stay in the fruitless place, in Lodabar, or we take responsibility for the issues of our lives, and with fear, as he did, we move towards, what was that song, the King of Love? We move towards the King of Love. You think, well, this is basic. Yes, it is. Sometimes we're in the river with the crocodiles. Sometimes we really need to bear this in mind again, so that nothing, as far as we're aware, hinders us. Or if we don't think there's anything, we can say, Lord, show me. It's time to show me some of these issues in the past. I'll tell you, that happened to me. I went into major shock when I found out some conditions of my life. I never knew. It was hidden from me. But when I found out, I thanked God, even though it was pain, because it certainly began to heal me dramatically, deep inside my spirit. So I'm a son. Although I was cursed with illegitimacy. I'm a son. I've been adopted away from orphan into sonship. And it's then jumping into the ferocious, the furious river of God's love, isn't it? Yes. I don't mind if you're the quietest person in Reading. Doesn't matter. Or you're the loudest. Doesn't matter. It's attitude of heart. It's determination to go into God's best. Well, it's about 12 o'clock. Fünf oder zehn Minuten, bitte. Zehn? Fünf, six? Nein. Oh, bitte. What happened? Well, he believed a lie about himself. Nobody cares about me. What's all this about? He believed a lie. And that's what happens. It's not difficult to believe that sort of lie. And what we do, we come into places like this, and it's not difficult for us to sort of co-relate, sorry, in some way or another. It's a bit like Zacchaeus up his tree, you know. We fellowship up our trees, you know. Why? Because you're not getting my heart. And we just about, you know, we self-protect. There's a fear of rejection and we're hurting. And so we fellowship across trees. What's the point of all of that? I just pray for a big chainsaw to come in, don't you? Chop them jolly well down so that at least we can get close, you know. Which is so, I'm fed up with veneer and disillusionment in veneer, aren't you? I want reality. Where? Here? I should think so. Out there? I should hope so. So important. So he makes up his mind. He says, I'm going. He makes a choice. He takes some responsibility. And he goes. And David looks at him and says, fear not. Well, I'm pleased he brought his fear with him. And Mephibosheth says this. This is the best positive expression of name it and claim it and blab it and grab it you've ever heard. He says, what do you want to do with a dead dog like me? He said, I'm just a dead dog. That means he's worse than a Gentile. Because Gentiles are dogs. I quite like that. Because he's expressing his pain. And David said, I want to draw you in. Because what he said blew Mephibosheth away to a point where healing in his heart came. It's absolute. What did he do? Well, he says, I want to treat you like my son. He restores identity, gives him worth and value and esteem. He gives him family. He says, I want you, Mephibosheth, to come and eat at my table. Imagine this big table. There's a space for Mephibosheth. In other words, he wanted him to become his son. He was adopting him as son. So there he is, sat at the table. And what part is covered under the table? His crippled feet. Isn't that fantastic? So he then gets restoration of all the land that was stolen from his grandfather and father. David gives him back his inheritance. And what God, the Father, wants to do in this furious love is to restore identity, is to give family, is to bring us into our true inheritance. Because if I'm a son, I'm an heir. Slaves? No. The trouble is, we're a bit like the whinging charismatic of the older brother, aren't we? I'm just a slave. All I do to you, I slave for you. And the father says, that's interesting, son, because I'm always with you and what I have is always yours. Do you see? Slaves cannot come into inheritance. But we're sons. We're sons. And it's exciting, isn't it? It's more exciting than Reading scoring blinking goals against my team. You should have seen Anita Prince jumping up and down and shouting. There were no bad songs to the ref, by the way. I was listening, you know. But she was going for it. And that's excitement. But this is beyond that by a million times, and she knows it. It's fantastic! He restores. He restores, which is superb. The table. For some reason, there's always a place at the table for me next to him. I don't know how it works out, but there's always a place for you next to him as well. Isn't it fantastic? The security, the peace, the fellowship. Hallelujah. The communion, the healing, the peace prepares a table in the... You can't beat it. It's fantastic. It's amazing. Listen, some of you. The light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. You're coming through. You're pushing through. I know it's Sunday, but oh, come on. It's fantastic. Unconditional love. Listen to this. This is the message. Well, let me read the New King James. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now listen to this. Message. God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. Isn't that wonderful? He did it through Jesus Christ. It's free. It's divine favor. There's no cost. Mercy there was great and grace was free. There's no restriction. It's undeserved, but it's a gift. We don't deserve it, but I'm not going to dwell in not deserving. I'm going to dwell in the fact it's a free gift. We can enter in. Of course he sees us how we are. But this ferocious love draws us. He just wants to overwhelm us with his life. He wants to draw us to himself and give us a place at the table and restore inheritance. He does. We're sons. Good grief, it's fantastic. So you think, well, okay, what can I do to help God? I've said that. It's tosh, isn't it? Piffle, balderdash. What can I do? I mean, it's God. So I'm going to push all that away. Push all the shame and the rejection away. I'm going to enter into the free gift of God. For by grace. Otherwise I'd boast, wouldn't you? I'd boast. I really would. Oh dear Lord Jesus. So David showed that kindness. Who's the kindest person in the universe? God is kind. His covenant is kind. And I want to get so close to the kind God, don't you? I really, really do. And it says, Mephibosheth ate continually. 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 If I'm eating continually, if I'm restored into sonship, the family, if I'm receiving my inheritance, I'm going to feel confident to go out there, like some of this lot you've been hearing about, and do something for the grace of God, aren't you? Just let me say this, I'd forgotten it, but I've just looked at him, so I'll say it. The thing about Daniel is this, Bart. I looked at Bart last night, amidst the anointing of curry, and thought, Daniel. This man, Daniel, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding at chapter 5. Also the ability to interpret dreams and to explain riddles and to solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel here, pal. God has given you favour amongst men and women that we would never get near. He's given you favour. And the influence of God is coming out like the anointing of Daniel. It means God is my judge. What God is going to do to these people, I don't know, but there's an anointing of Daniel that will influence and touch. And you, God is going to reward. God is going to give. God is going to release something of your inheritance. And the calling is going to just explode. Because they're going to turn to you. Oh, who's Bart? I don't know. But there's something about the anointing of Daniel on this man. With the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight of God. You believe it. Therefore I just declare it. Oh dear Jesus. Now I just think we could finish. Would you like to finish? Yeah, I'd like to finish. Would you mind if we finished? Let's finish. But I want to play something. I think we should do this. They can come in if they like. The kids, I don't mind. Here's what I want you to do as we hear this. Divide the sentiment from the Spirit of God. Will you do this? Because it's a song that is secular. Will you attempt to do this? Divide the sentiment. I don't mind the emotion, but there's something about this song that really gets me in my heart. Can you do it, Chris? And we'll just play this. Now here's what I feel God is saying. We, notice I'm not saying you, we need to have a word with ourselves. Where? At the cross. We need to be open to the Spirit of God to touch us, to bring back some of these frozen memories. Clue. But what she sings about is this. She pushes them down and has not got an answer. But we have in the love of Father God, haven't we? We have. So it's up to you to take some responsibility. Why? Because the king is calling. The horses are outside your front door. The king is calling. He wants you to come into fullness of covenant. The kindness of God. To have so much restored. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So divide sentiment. Will you do that? I think that's the issue. And just open yourself to the Spirit of God as we finish by this song. Thank you, Christopher.
way we were.
Say that's not true with respect. We push down. We push down and freeze the memory. Do you see that? It does touch me. I don't know what to do really. Except, can I just challenge you, and then I'll pray and then we'll go. Challenge you to just take this up, because I feel God wants to draw lines, wants us to deal with issues that maybe have been dogging us for years. This is too painful, push it down. No. They never die. They're always alive. And they will afflict us. They will affect us. But what he wants to do is for us to defrost these things and embrace them. Do you see? And no healing. So Father, help us. We just don't want the birds of the air to take the seeds of this word out of our lives. As we go into coffee and tea and chatting, which is also brilliant and valid. But Lord, if you're speaking to us, do it deep so that we actually determine in our own heart to make some choices and take responsibility and come towards this ferocious, this furious love of the King, and accept and receive that which is our inheritance. Amen? Amen. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Christopher.